And welcome, 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 dear listeners, wherever you find yourself. This is your Business in Economic Zone, your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Well, I do hope that you are enjoying the sundowner, or a sundowner session at least. I mean, well, it is the new week, or the first full week of September. And nonetheless, we still find ourselves in terms of a little bit of a ongoing discussion with regards to the economy of our country, the broader impacts that we as everyday people are experiencing, interacting, witnessing, feeling, coming into contact with, various discussions, various points of departure, or various points that lend its weight in terms of a certain discussion point. Now, we've got a factor in for tonight's discussion that we've got a very interesting one, which is locally based, and it's born from the discussion coming from the Villager e-paper of last night, the 4th of September's edition, which points towards 116.2 billion Namibian dollars that have been channeled into the economy through loans. Now, this is key, guys, because, and this comes from the Bankers Association through Mr. Brian Kasherwa. Yes, I have to remember to say it, you know, fluently. Kasherwa, Mr. Brian Kasherwa from the Bankers Association of Namibia, that on average, a house costs in Namibia 1.2 million Namibian dollars. So that's an average costing. And this has to lend its weight in terms of the broader discussion with regards to, you know, affordable housing. Now, affordable housing, guys, is something else. It's not something else to say that it's alien, or that it's unique, or that it's detached from the discussion, or that it's on a different distant continent or an island that exists in its own utopia or in its own little paradise of problems. Yes, I know I'm putting in something nice alongside something pretty bad. However, this is what it is. This is what the scenario looks like. Now, Mr. Kasherwa emphasized the role of commercial banks in creating a competitive economy. Banks have facilitated the home ownership in this country. Let's identify that point. With their balance sheets dominated by mortgage loans to households. Now, just last week in the Business at 2 segment on, I think it's Friday or Thursday session, here on the radar segment, we had the item in terms of the private sector credit extension, looking at, actually it had grown for businesses, somewhat also partially declining for households, because you get the household component, which is the retail, if you had to look at, you know, in that sense, a retail component, and then business being the, you know, the business to business product itself. Now, home loans also factor into this discussion, but we've got to understand for the past 30 years of Namibia's existence, affordable housing has been a dream. A dream is still too far-fetched. Let me call it a fantasy. Affordable housing for all has been a fantasy. And you can challenge me in on that in terms of saying that it's a yes or no component, but let's just critically look at the component for housing in Namibia, especially affordable housing. In essence, most of our local authorities should exist for service provision. They should exist for service provision. The mandate, the aim that they have to ensure, enforce, enact, endorse, act out whatever labels you want to use, guys. They have the local authorities. I'm not talking about municipalities, town councils, village councils, and so on and so forth. Not regional councils. Town and municipalities and regional and village councils. They have the mandate. Should, and it actually is part and parcel of the services provision to provide services for the future of a town or a city or whatever urban settlement that might be. Now I'm going to touch on a very unique scenario that exists in our country. This is also a disclaimer not to say yes for you to probably feel a little bit feel a little bit dissatisfied, because the matter will compound itself even further if you see how the involvement of commercial banks in our country are in this purchase and sale of properties, or let me just say erven, or just land in itself. Now, you and I understand, in terms of taking a look at the scenario of land in our country, we've got to critically assess in terms of who are the stakeholders involved. There are us, the regular men and women. Yes, I put myself into that bracket as well. Us, the regular men and women, also known as the laymen or the lay people. We form part of the contingent that go to university, trying to work a stable job, trying to achieve a stable income in terms of also furthering and also increasing our economic prosperity in one or other form. It's not as a collective. You have your own personal goals. I have my own personal goals. And so, that's how we work or continue in our approach. Now, the second component onto that is, who do we gain access towards? You see, you cannot go and do what happened just last year, with some of the, especially that side of Ochimise, if I'm correct. Yeah, it was that side of Ochimise. I remember because I drove past it, when people were busy clearing out portions of the land in terms of trying, and it was called as land grabbing. It wasn't actually known as land grabbing because, well, Bernardo Swarpoy, president of the leader of the LPM party, he actually explains it very beautifully. But we have to understand that if the police call you a land grabber, I mean, who else can protest against such a label? Because the police are actually the ultimate in law enforcement representation. Not a minister, not a ministry, the police. No, you know, because that is essentially what also happened last year with some of the inhabitants of Windhoek were actually, told to desist, to cease and desist from the activity of clearing out land. But I'm not on about the kind of labeling that you can apply when and where. You see, Swarpoy indicated there that as an electorate, as a layperson, you and me, it is in essence our land, and this land is government land. Even though it's within a local authority or, city center or urban center, the scenario is that you have middlemen occupying certain spaces that commodified land. Land has been commodified. Now, I know in terms of my starting point with regards to the 116.2 billion Namibian dollars worth of loans that was channeled through our economy. For sure, I know that was a different starting point. And for sure, also starting off with the averaging cost in terms of what a property costs you in Namibia, because it says here a complete house. I.e., it's a property. It's not vacant land just standing there. It's a complete house. We've got to wrap our heads around a clear and present conundrum. I'll label it as a conundrum. You can come through with anything else. But a clear and present conundrum. And I mean, in some instances, we've heard even from residents of Walvis Bay who have spoken about some of the, if any of you can call in and correct me, but it's, I don't know which building or which housing plan was it, but that some of the properties were standing vacant. I can't remember if it's the ones where the president actually was at beginning of this year or end of last year, where he handed over or, you know, opened the ceremony in terms of making it available or public or sort of like inaugurating, the access to these properties. I do not know if it was them, but property has become, or land. I can't say land because land is a pretty broad term. And I mean, we do have tracts of land in our country that are protected zones. And then you've also got the discussion with regards to commercial private farmland to account for as well. We've got those components to quantify and to add into our entire discussion. But before I continue, we're quickly going to step into a short ad break. From the ad break, we'll come right back and head into the rest of this evening's program. You can come through and from just past the hour, just past 7 o'clock. I'd put a slight request in, guys. Let's try and keep it short and sweet in that regard, because I'd like to get this discussion in as quickly as and further as possible. We'll be back after this break.
Kukuruga yowamba, kukuningsa ozere, nukusespika no mpito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke. Ramangako, uwera o HIV. Ayo kukupoperan, tani kuiruga na maokoko. Tokora sigara, ninkawa kurugana yowamba. Mokutura moe hundiro liye yowamba zuma okoko, dimo guanakuma puku rugomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa numero 0833-3858-2888. Ndidingura kwa Facebook kwa VMMC Namibia.
Hello Namibia. Indira pamanate ruyuni walelape. Lelape onkaro ompu wa mafutiro no kuthisa ngoka haguningwa pamkaro gongodi hoka tavuru okutuminako omatumaraka goe agehe na ngoka gopaipindi no tagadhanwa no kutuma mambepo ethimbo ojo tuunjoka. Otovuru okuningashike ko lelape. Otovuru okutura omatumaraka goe mambepo tarongisa oka epa ko Eagle FM nenge ka imba nenge hoka ka lelape nenge uture moshifo osho The Villager ni kwao ya webapo. Otovuru okuninga omafutiro goe. Otovuru ishe okuturako omatumaraka goe ginima ya yoroka. Ngashi omatumaraka gorukozi, omatumaraka goma hiyo, omatumaraka goma harero ya mbeko goma varo, na matumaraka gokwa rukehe ngoka wahara utseithere oshiwana ashikesho monamibia, okuza warapo doranda tu ni thiringa itano metumaraka kehe. Lelape oharongo ngini. Konga oka epa ko lelape ko Play Store nenge ko App Store eto katura kakarekeri mongo dioe. Paturura o akauntae o shari eto turamo o maothemba goe. Inda ko kajato koe ki mariwa eto turako o shimariwa to udhitha shoka topurwa uudhithe. Shampa wa mana okuturamo o maothemba goe hogora kucha o hara okurungitha ehangano nenge o vendaini o Eagle FM nenge o The Villager. Ronge kitha etumaraka joe eto sindimpoka pashangwa send utume. Shampa watumu etumaraka joe otari turwa ko Eagle FM imba lela pe nenge ko The Villager. Ona ishwe ompito yokuturako irongwa moyoe yokomake. Tumina inima we ko digital@malaiti.com notai urikwa menderero. Opo ukare wagudha kukara ndithi, tudengera nena kono rahetatu imwe, mbari nora, ndatu ngoi, hamano, ndatu ndatu, nenge kono rahetatu imwe, ndatu mbari, hetatu, 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 ne, no nora yeriari. Lela pei, imo nena, nena, tai adhika ko App Store no ko Google Play Store.
Now, coming back from our extended break, the important thing that I left you off with is in terms of understanding that land in the country has been commodified. It is a commodity. We cannot deny that it is not big business in terms of commercial banks' or for commercial banks and their balance sheets, because we have it right there. Because as of at the end of 2022, households were owing commercial banks in Namibia 43.3 billion Namibian dollars for financing their houses, either for finished homes, to build, or to extend. And this is what came coming through from the Bank of Namibia itself. So, yes, guys. Mortgages, or even just taking out a loan with regards to a property or financing a property, is big business for the local commercial banks. Second on to that is also, we all know what the bad story is. If you can't repay, unfortunately, said item gets taken from you, sometimes known as repossession. Now, it's not something nice to talk about, even for me, as you know, as a multimedia or radio journalist. But the discussion itself does point towards a scenario where we've got to look at what is affordable housing, or housing. What is affordable housing? On whose shoulders does this component fall on? Who's responsible for supplying said affordable housing? Now, in the basic understanding of a local authority, a basic understanding of a local authority was that in order for you, for me, the lay people, us, to gain access to, let's say, serviced land or serviced erven or serviced, you know, plots, whichever terminology you want to use, it's still empty. The services might just have been connected to there. Our original agreement in terms of purchase and sale, you know, to buy the land from a recognized local authority would be that we go to them, we ask them, do you have space available in this area or in that area, or what is your price ranges and where are they situated? That would have been the initial understanding to work with. That would have been the initial discussion to work with. The unfortunate scenario is that in the past 25 years, should I be safe? Well, let me keep it to around 20 years. With Windhoek's rapid expansion. Rapid expansion in certain directions. You even have the private clusters that sprung up on both side it's on the four directions of Windhoek. So you've got the private gated communities to the east on the way to the airport, to the south on your way to Rehoboth, to the north on your way to Okahanya, and now the latest being to the east, to the west as you're heading out to Dunfermline, and most probably heading through the Namib-Naukluft Nature Conservation on that highway that runs through the Namib Desert. So Windhoek in itself is evolving, is branching out, and is expanding. This ultimately puts a strain on service delivery from a local authority such as the city of Windhoek. Because Windhoek stands already at an estimated 400,000 in terms of population density. 400,000. Windhoek is known as the second largest city on the continent in terms of surface area. Second largest city, or third largest, one of the two labels, or one of the two rankings that we have. And Windhoek is growing by the year, by the month. But the key thing has become, and that's also where I have to discard anything with regards to like a political movement with regards to land in Namibia, is doesn't matter how we label something, especially if it comes from local authorities or from councillors. Doesn't matter what we do. The reality of the situation does not change direction. It doesn't change course of direction. It's not like the ship is heading towards the South Pole on a never-ending stop, straight line. And we now decide, okay, we want warmer weather, so let's head off to either to South America or to the southern point of South Africa, being there at the Cape of Good Hope. No. We can say whatever we want. Politicians can say whatever they want. Councillors can say whatever they want. The unfortunate thing is, the ship or the train is not being stopped from where it's going. I do not know where it's going. But as you are seeing the reality in terms of such reports, or such articles, that like this one that was written by my colleague Kinuminwa Irasis about the commodification. And it is commodification. Land has been commodified in our country. The commodification of land. And this is also most probably where you see even legacy discussions from other political parties before some of the newer kids on the block who are talking about, you know, trying to change the component of land. And that's why I'm indicating to you, ignore what was said in a political realm or from a political perspective. Ignore it. Up and until the point where policy changes the actuality of a market scenario, ignore anything that comes from a political perspective. You've got to look at the scenario on the ground. The scenario on the ground. It is big business for the banks. No doubt about it. It is big business for the banks. Properties. Property financing. Big business. Super business for the banks. Now, the scenario here is that you don't just have households, you know, for home loans to work with. You've also got financing options for business properties. Financing options for business properties. I mean, just a few years back, not a few years back, I'm actually lying. Let me make it a good 10 years back. If any of you remember the, What's the industrial park on the other side of La France? The La France industrial park. Especially the one where the newer developments were taking place. Because Northern Industrial itself is an old industrial area alongside Southern Industrial as well. But with La France itself being a newer addition to the industrial sector or industrial properties or business to business properties or commercial properties, in Windhoek, one property developer at that stage bought up most of La France on $1,000 for every square meter. 1,000. Sorry, I'm lying. It's the reverse. They sold it for $1,000 per square meter, or they were selling it, but they had bought it actually for a much smaller margin, which would result in almost more than 100% markup between what they bought it for and what they actually sold it for. Now, I say this because I'm identifying to you the middlemen activities. And this has also been one of the major concerns. If you have to talk to educated I didn't want to say graduates, because some graduates unfortunately do not have jobs as yet. But if you had to talk to people that have stable salaries and incomes, doesn't matter if they're a business owner or if they are someone that works for someone else, who have a desire to buy a property. This is anyone, guys. This is any Namibian in this country. A lot of them will tell you, I earn X percentage. Let's work on an average of at least $20,000. The person earns $20,000. Or let's say they take home at least $20,000. From that $20,000, any Namibian would believe that they can finance a home loan. Right? That's a general understanding between us. Any Namibian that can at least take home $20,000 after deductions, taxes, you know, you mention it, would feel in a strong position to say, I would like to engage in purchasing my own property. But it's not the situation in reality out there. It's not the situation. It's not the reality. People who are earning at least $30,000 before taxes are renting in small apartments, in bachelor apartments. They are renting. Now, this could either speak to one of a few things. And this even speaks to something that a family member of mine even just now tried to find a solution for his daughter and her cousin, meaning his sister's child, in terms of, for two students to try and rent in a safe compound, at least small enough for two mid-20s women. The unfortunate scenario is that all the options that they had access to, and this is just for renting, were in the $6,000 to $8,000 price range. And this is not even in Windhoek's affluent suburbs. I'm talking about Klein Windhoek, Pioneers Park, Academia, what else is there? Seydorf, Hoogland Park. Who else is there? Ludwigsdorf. Okay, Ludwigsdorf would be ridiculous. Actually, Ludwigsdorf is not prone for having any kind of major flat or developments that would be in that price range. At least it would be a lot more higher. Avis. All these suburbs.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
The International University of Management, IUM, Witete umbo no namba no kushiwe faguja. Uma ngirorongo oturataya academic year 2023. Ukwa patuluka endele napa ife ulikole paparoe mo education. Ukarolongi fikora ile ugufe o health and social science. Osho uma ifano information and communication technology. O strategic management and leadership. Na ataimonika no tourism. Osho hospitality and event management. Business administration ikuterera. Environmental studies and postgraduate studies at Shota de Monica. Where are you? Monica ko website www.ium.edu.na. You are the point below the IUM, the Kulipo Pepe, Mo Venduka, Monko Renguru, Mongwe Diva, no Mompae, Ota de Monica. Where are you? Hangi Kongo Jaya Venduka. 061 ongodi ne natunatu oma veri hamano inda komesho kufetokoro liri monjira toiko mbona kuiwa inerao pamwena IUM.
Now, coming back from our extended break, the interesting thing right there is where I left off just before the break was taking a look at the pricing structure, especially for rent. Now, it would have been nice, guys, to have like a central rent controlled or rent analysis institution or body or board or something of that sense, something of that direction. The unfortunate scenario is we don't know. We don't know. And no one would know where this kind of body would fit in. Because I know that about 2 years back, the rent control board or rent control mechanism discussion was going on about. It just went and became silent. Second on to that is also prices, unfortunately, are still moving. They are still moving. They're not moving nor stagnating. They're moving in a direction because the property owner is treating the property like a business venture. You see, the property owner would think, okay, I've got a flat, so the rent needs to cover the home loan or the loan or the property loan or the mortgage loan that I have to pay back, so it doesn't impact my salary, and so it needs to come out of the renters. It's a reasonable understanding. It's a reasonable understanding. But here's the thing. You are paying that thing for 20 years. The tenants will not be staying there for 20 years on average. They will not be staying there. If they are staying there, then they technically would be buying the property from you if they are paying off your mortgage or your loan, your home loan. Then they would have just as much entitlement to saying, listen, then we actually own the title deed. The title deed. Now, Namibia, guys, as mentioned, is big enough for every Namibian to at least have 10 square kilometers of living space. If every Namibian had to stand side by side from south to north, or from vice versa, from north to south, we had to stand side by side across this country. Every Namibian would have 10 square kilometers of living space. That is big. You can park a ship or even two airplanes. They can be Airbuses or whatever your preference could be. You can park as many of those items in your living space. The key thing that we've all obviously have to factor in here is looking at where do people actually want to live. And the unfortunate thing is it brings me back once again to two areas and two zones in our country. And I've extensively spoken about this as being Windhoek or Commerce region's unfair advantage over the other regions, followed up by the Erongo region. Namibians are preferring to live in these two areas. Namibians realize that the best services, doesn't matter what it is, whether it be entertainment, whether it be banking, whether it be internet-based, whether it be school, whether it be sports, is in the capital. Only secondly backed up, or coming in second place, backed up by the coast. Now, when you realize this imbalance occurring, that means that other town councils or municipalities do not have the same competitive nature, nor same competitive approach. For example, if you had now to go to Otjiwarongo, you cannot go and pay 500,000 for a residential erf. You cannot, because you would, as a Windhoeker, you would say, no, why must I pay that much for that property? Look how far it is. What justifies the price? What is the reason for such pricing? But the municipality of Otjiwarongo has just as much right to put up any price they want, since that is the presentation and also the precedent that exists in Windhoek. That precedence exists in Windhoek, because I am still trying to understand, how can you put a price on something that you cannot create? You cannot create land. You cannot. You cannot, guys. You cannot create land. So how do you justify the pricing component on land? How? If you explain to me the willy-nilly explanations, because I've really sat there thinking, okay, you build a house, but a house is not an eternal structure. Land is eternal. It's been there before us. It's going to be there after you. So how does the pricing for land work? I can understand why we pay water and electricity. I can understand that. The utilities have costs that they need to carry. These include, amongst other, inter alia, salaries, their own overheads, supply agreements, for example, like with Eskom. In Nampower, we have to understand that they've got infrastructure to maintain. So the infrastructure that they have installed all across the country needs to be maintained so that they are not dependent upon central government for financing entirely, but that they can actually finance themselves. I understand that. But can you install a land? Can you install land, guys? It's not for you to have the onus of trying to convince me what the pricing structure looks like. It is just, in most cases, whether we go down, whether we take a trip down history, you will still find that the same piece of land existed before anyone decided to call Namibia home. And even after many, so many people, groups, representatives from far, wide, locally, and internationally decided to make Namibia home after Namibia was constituted as a country, you can still not tell me where the price for the item comes from. You will not be able to tell me where. You will not be able to even convince me. You see, it's one of the key things that my mother even had in terms of trying to understand how the pricing scenario. And look, guys, it doesn't take, it's not a work of genius just to think about this. Because really, ask yourself, where does the price for land come from? Where? How do you have it that on average a house, a fully built house in Namibia, on average costs 1.2 million Namibian dollars? Where? Where? I've done my own research. There's a company here in Windhoek that can make you a house for 200,000 Namibian dollars. You just have to indicate you just should be in ownership of the piece of plot or the erf that that they should construct the house on. They can do that for you. YouTube is the world's best friend. YouTube should actually be the second human right after Googling information to any human that has a smartphone and a good internet connection. You can find engineering wonders right there. There's a company in South Africa that gives you a building solution. They sell you the machine. They can sell you the machine. You can build a house like you're busy interlocking the house. So please explain to me, guys, where does the price for land come from? What justifies it? What justifies it? Now, as we're heading into the last 20 seconds, I see that there was a caller trying to come through. You can still come through nonetheless. I mean, the discussion is pretty much open-ended because there is no finality to it. Doesn't matter what you do, there is no finality to this discussion. And the worst part of all was the commodification of land in Namibia will not end. Doesn't matter which political party comes into power. Doesn't matter. The actual guys in charge of Namibia's property market are the local commercial banks. The local commercial banks are strong because of Namibia's local property market. They are. You can add in the estate agents. Yeah, the estate agents would have been there whether or not home loans or the home loan instruments were there from commercial banks. The estate agents are given. They're a given. An estate agent is a given. I mean, you would always find someone trying to sell something that they did not make. Hence, agency. It's known as agency or through proxy. You would still find these people. Doesn't matter where you go, you would still find people all around the world selling things that they are not in ownership of, nor did they create it, nor do they actually own it. And sometimes they were just given sort of like a open-ended approval in terms of saying, yeah, go try and sell it. They're sometimes known as commodity buyers. Now, land, guys, you cannot move land anywhere. That's the other part. It's immovable. You cannot move a property anywhere. You can't move your plot or your earth or your erf, wherever you live in this country. You cannot say, okay, now I'm fed up with Keetmanshoop. Let me move to Lüderitz. You can't. You can't. It's immovable. It's subject to certain laws, bylaws, rules and regulations in a specific local authority zone. But the question still comes in. The local authority is not a financial institution itself. It does collect its tariffs and levies and rates and taxes with regards to you paying. But who instituted the prices that we see currently that indicates towards the amount of liquid money that's in our economic system, especially from the banking perspective? 43.3 billion Namibian dollars is no laugh, is no small joke, is no small thing. It's a lot of money that households alone are responsible for. I don't want to know what the commercial properties tally up to. I don't want to know. Look, guys, that 43.3 billion there is actually half of our country's national budget. Did you realize that? That's half of our country's national budget on a good day, in a good financial year. Because, I mean, in Namibia has never collected 100 billion Namibian dollars in taxes and revenues and tariffs and levies. We've never collected 100 billion. We cannot even match half.
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from 345 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit paratus.africa/NA for more information.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
How can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
Or social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye.
Now, let me just quickly get a caller in, guys, because the phone lines have been flashing right through the ad break. Eagle FM, good evening.
Oh, Dad, good evening, sir. How are you?
Fine, you Uncle Bonner. How are you doing?
How are you doing? No, I'm going to make it short. You say you should condense it and make it short and smart.
No, Uncle Bonner, I'm willing to listen because I'm actually a little bit, you know, fatigued now. It's been a long day. But
I love your presentation.
Hmm.
Eh? Yeah, you know, that critical question that who determined the price of that property?
Mm.
Yeah, it's true, like you are saying, that let me start with that that price.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe the middleman that you are mentioning.
Mm.
So, because of the labor, the cost, and all these other things.
Yeah.
Added. Of course, the land itself, that price, the value is so higher. Maybe only God knows.
Mm.
And how then when you look at, you can put a price. We are just trying to put a price because of the cost of the labor.
Mm.
For the facility now to stand.
Mm.
That's why sometimes you find an area, a virgin land, but the price that is put in there before any investment is done, it's already calculated.
Mm.
And the people know already that, yes, appreciation and depreciation. That's an asset that appreciates value all the time, isn't it?
It
will go down. It will go down just for maybe because of the economic recession and things like that. But at the moment when you see now the economic activities are taking place,
mm.
I we are talking about financing this property investment and things like that.
Mm.
So I don't know. Maybe you guys you know better, but all I know is that the labor and the middlemen there and everything there that's added, the security and maybe the utility. You were mentioning about the utility. That's that faction. Being secured.
Now, Uncle Bona, let's try and imagine a scenario where the land is not serviced, meaning the local authority did not lay any of the services yet or install them, and it's just standing there full of bushes and shrubs, just there. Who decided on the price? What price? No, what you, price you are, can you indicate?
You know already that if say for example like the, from that scenario that you are from that perspective, you know already that if for example, I'm just using this scenario because we are just talking about these things also, some of this, if you settle on the land that's not serviced, no water, no what, no clinic, no road, no playground for
no electricity,
child,
yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing close.
And like you say, the window quiz has got two faces.
Yeah.
Okay. It's one of the largest city, and you can see now. So now for you, of course, you have to take some deliberate kind of robust decision. Okay. That's going to cause some harm, some discomfort, and things like that. So now that thing you have already imagined. In your vision, you know already that the land is very. So it's because if you, for example, you say now and people agree and say this one moved, and then you can put a sport field there in one of those informal settlements, isn't it? A sport field, big one. Just similar to the one for Kahaka that the same Nyoma and others, isn't it? So you see the value already of those facilities if you put it there. And how the kind of safety, the kind of security, the kind of, you know, you have already, so that kind of proposal we do. But I don't know, because that is, I think, because of that, and you know already that it will appreciate. It will always rise in values and things like that, unlike a car and things like that. But in conclusion, so one component, because the bank, it's important that the bank must restructure their home loan facilities, okay?
But why, Uncle Bob? Because, why must they do that?
They need to restructure so that they can seriously respond to the needs of those who might want to own a home. You know, because when you look at some of this money, like the 43.3 billion that you're talking about, so that money is just owned. Some of the people who own that money are actually, can actually afford the home loan, the home loan. I know in the government, a lot of them can do that.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the home loan structure of the, when you look at the subsidy, you look at the home loan, the qualifying notes, everything. So those government employees, most of them can qualify. Okay. But in the private sector, so we are talking about the people who are now working at the production level. Those ones are still experiencing a problem. They can't afford.
Yeah, they are actually being priced out of the market.
Exactly, they are priced out of the market. And now, what you do now, and their money, most of them, they have got their money held by insurance companies, have got money held by commercial bank. You understand? So through many, those various avenues, okay? Some of them have got, most of them have got life cover policies. So for you to come in there and say, fine, let's restructure these things, whatever little you are getting from your employer, I know it's not enough, but can still be subsidized in terms of housing. Okay?
But Angabona, just to help you there with your discussion there, the best thing would have been if we had something like a housing, what is that, a building society. You remember building societies, Angabona?
The ones that
existed before, because I tried reading up on where do.
Is it not the NHE? Is the NHE
it's supposed to be NHE, but I'm not going to mention.
It is actually transformed into that.
Yeah, but I don't want to speak of NHE because NHE is not living up to its mandate. And, you know, you actually don't want to knock someone that is. They have their own troubles. So let's not talk about energy for now. But it's supposed to be energy. Now the building societies, Angabona, as you and I understood it from yesteryear, meaning before independence, before 1990, building societies were supposed to be these guys that looked after the whole population. Meaning, if we say affordable housing, it is a mechanism by which any one of us goes to NH, no, not NH, let me not say NH, goes to someone similar that has the mandate, has the strength. You apply for land, you indicate where you live and where you work, and there's an affordable loan that you can pay back.
So
that middlemen and women, for example, like estate agents, don't get involved in this discussion. And that's also that you minimize the impact of the commercial banks in the sector. But what happened?
It's only the government. Only the government can improve it. It's very difficult for somebody working in the private sector. Those chief managers, for the middle manager, I mean, for the middle level, they are, those ones they can afford. All the rest of the production level, they are down there. They won't afford. Except those who are, maybe that's what I'm saying. Even though I understand your scenario, building society, but there are also fragmented kind of organization there. You have got sect dwellers working with the village councillors or urban and all these things. Because most of these functions are decentralized, okay? So if they can coordinate their effort very well, they can come up to with a building society that you're talking about. Just like you have this cooperative society with the agri bank, all those things can be done, coordinated.
But here's the thing, sorry, Angabona, but here's the thing. Yeah. For example, if we had to say like Shack Dwellers Association gets to that level, they would actually be competing with a commercial bank.
Yeah, then what's wrong with the competition? Because we are talking about healthy competition.
Yeah.
If you have a monopoly, have you not seen when the old mutual is spent to pay 6 point something
million? Yeah.
Why? Because you are excluding others from the market. It's not proper. It's not a healthy competition. It's not a healthy for economy.
And here's the thing, Angabona. For the commercial banks, who do they actually subscribe to? The central bank. So you actually have state involvement, i.e. through the central bank, looking after the interests of the commercial banks. So Shack Dwellers Federation would have then to register as a financial institution.
Dr. Mari today was talking about all these things and even mentioned about some of this fiscal consolidation. When you talk about them, do we understand?
Fiscal consolidation, just the term itself. What is fiscal consolidation?
The term itself, do we understand? So I think in my conclusion is that maybe there is some way somehow, because all I know is that there are many, he mentioned it there, and I know that is true. So many of them who can afford a home, but opted to stay where?
Exactly. Where do they stay? But Angabona, thanks for coming through.
Welcome. God bless.
Okay, bye. And this does bring us up to the last 2 minutes here on your number one talk radio station. This is your Business Economic Zone. And just to conclude off with some more statistics, guys, and I'm just going to give you some more statistics in this regard, is from, and that's from the same article from that my colleague Inomenua Irastas wrote with regards to the components of the housing finance. Beyond housing financing, the commercial banks also facilitate mobility, which is vehicle or the vehicle financing instruments that they own and, you know, facilitate, study programs for individuals, and as well as also farming, and the list goes on. Now, the banks also facilitate individuals to consume beyond their current income by acquiring certain items and paying them off in the future. Now, if you and I hadn't known better, that is usually known as futures. You know, you're paying, purchasing something off in the future. Something like an overdraft facility, most probably, which works in such a, in terms of my basic understanding, works in such a scenario. And that at the end of July 2022, the banks had advanced around $10.3 billion to households to consume what they want or perhaps buy assets, while those households that needed urgent cash were given access to overdrafts amounting to $2.2 billion by the end of July as well. So, I know, it's a lot of billions that we mentioned there. It's a lot of billions adding into the billions, into further billions of more billions, but the discussion out there is still about, and I'm leaving you with this lasting thought, who actually decided on the pricing? Who actually? If we can buy matter of...
So, jy het gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Yep.
Dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie vrek seer nie?
Dit was net so effen seer, maar dit is die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dit is soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dit is die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry jy besnijding. Om 'n gratis besnijding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Now, before I end off in terms of the end of tonight's program, there is also another statistic I want to throw to you. Now, also for the end of July, the business or the commercial banking component or business community or the business banking scenario or the business community itself, let's just stick on that, has borrowed $46.2 billion from commercial banks to fund their operations, expansions and other investments. So in comparison between households and the business sector, it's an even street business. You know, it's about a 2.9 billion Namibian dollar difference between 46 and 43. Which still is more than Namibia's budget or GDP. Namibia's, or our government's budget allocation. It still is more than that. I mean, this is almost 90 billion. It's almost 90 billion. The discussion that I'm actually pointing you towards is that the assets or the financing for assets in itself, in this retail space, this retail banking space, is intense. There is a strong competition. And just leaving with the last remarks coming from my previous engagement with the last caller, with the caller just now, was... Even if someone decided, let me become or establish a building society in Namibia to give or to provide affordable housing, the thing is, this person, this individual, this party or collective of people would have to compete with an existing robust ecosystem that exists. This ecosystem includes local authorities, private sector, as well as also central government. It does. It does. I mean, we're not even going to beat about the bush in terms of having to assess between all the workers in the world, in the country. If you not put government sector and the private sector together, you know, the employees or the workers from both spheres, who can actually afford a property in the country? Who can actually afford it in the country? And this is also where something like the housing allowance, or facilities coming through certain salary packages or packets of or pay packages that people obtain from their employers has given specific households certain advantages in terms of where they can live in the country. Now, once again, guys, it creates an imbalance. It creates an imbalance that is not conducive nor healthy. I wanted to stress a building society, but the one that we are supposed to have is not doing its part. I'm sorry, it's not. It's not doing its part. Making mention of a very good and very noble initiative, for example, I have a Shack Dwellers Federation or Association, I'm just not sure about the last word in their title. They have a very noble mandate. I would have loved to assist them even, but it seems from the discussion I had from the one gentleman that is from the Otjozonjupa region, in terms of the recent handover that took place at Okakarara, they are on track. They've got their plans. But the unfortunate thing is that their plans are taking a bit long. You see, I don't know why it takes 32 years to try and give or supply affordable housing. I don't know why. I know you don't know why. No one will be able to explain to us why it takes 32 years to try and supply affordable housing. No one knows. No one will be able to know. But all I can tell you right now is the unfortunate scenario is that land has been commodified in our country. If you can afford it, you can participate in the discussion. If you cannot, well, my friend, sit down, keep your mouth shut, just have a cup of tea. You can't even afford a coffee. And that's still beside the discussion of Namibians that are inheriting land, inheriting properties. I'm not even factoring those guys in. And that's a big portion of Namibians in this country. That's a big portion of Namibians. It's not a small portion. It's not a small contingent. It's a big contingent of Namibians. It's a big contingent. However, that does bring us up to the end of tonight's program here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. We'll just be quickly heading into the short break and then ending it off just after this.